For more than a year and a half now, it's been legal to use marijuana to relieve pain, mitigate the nausea and other side effects of chemotherapy, or treat other conditions, as long as a doctor signs off on the marijuana use. But many doctors, such as Marisa Bachman, don't actually know about its use as a drug.
It's very frightening as a physician. You know, a lot of us have been put in a position where we had to kind of swim on our own, and I wish I had a lot of this information a long time ago.
WBUR's Martha Biebinger spoke to Dr. Bachman as she participated in the state's first continuing education course for physicians interested in certifying patients for using medical marijuana, courses that will soon be required, as Martha reports.
I'd like to start helping people get their mind wrapped around what are we talking about today with a case.
Dr. Alan Ehrlich steps to a podium in a packed auditorium at the Massachusetts Medical Society. Ehrlich is an editor at DynaMed, a website that reviews medical research for doctors.
Marilyn's a 68-year-old woman with breast cancer.
The cancer has spread. Marilyn is undergoing chemotherapy. She doesn't have any energy, she's lost her appetite, and is having a lot of back pain.
So she comes into a visit with you as a primary care physician, wants to talk about the possibility of using marijuana to help alleviate symptoms of nausea, pain, and fatigue. How many people think this is a good woman to certify for the use of marijuana?
About three-quarters of participants have raised a hand. So what does the evidence say? Well, not much. The federal government controls research on potential benefits of marijuana. So is there evidence that marijuana relieves nausea and vomiting related to chemotherapy?
Let me just point out, no randomized trials of smoke cannabis versus placebo for this. Okay, so everything I'm going to present from now on, if you're thinking about using smoked marijuana for this, you're talking about extrapolations.
So in this case, for a cancer patient using marijuana to relieve nausea from chemotherapy, Ehrlich tells these doctors there are stories from patients who say it helps, but there is almost no scientific proof. What about the intense pain in Marilyn's middle and lower back? Might marijuana help that? Yes, says Ehrlich, but the research is extremely limited. Of the eight debilitating conditions named in the Massachusetts law, Ehrlich tells these doctors that the best evidence marijuana relieves symptoms is for HIV, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, hepatitis C, and pain tied to nerve damage. The research shows little benefit for glaucoma, ALS, and Parkinson's disease. So what else should a doctor consider if a patient asks for a medical marijuana certificate?
Anytime you are certifying, you have to assess risks and benefits. It's not just, do you qualify? What are the risks?
Doctors leading the course say the possible side effects of marijuana include dizziness, vomiting, and psychosis for patients who have some personal or family history with a problem. Dr. Kevin Hill, a psychiatrist at McLean Hospital, says 9% of adults become addicted to marijuana, as do 16 to 17% of young people. And long-term use can lower a patient's IQ.
I think the problem is that the majority of people out there believe that marijuana is harmless. And unfortunately, that's not the case.
When weighing the risks and benefits, keep in mind that the risks have been more carefully studied than the benefits. Dr. Susan Lucas, who has epilepsy, says she uses marijuana to help prevent her seizures. She does not feel like the course is balanced.
I do feel it's a little skewed, especially because one of the physicians used THC as an acronym for medical marijuana.
THC is the ingredient in marijuana that makes people feel high. Doctors at this forum say patients should ask for strains with an equal amount of the compound CBD to offset the effects of THC.
You know, many of these physicians or many people here are of the sort of reefer madness era. I agree that it should be in addition to regular medications, but I don't think it should be written off as just THC and people sitting around with their kids getting high.
Some of the roughly 80 physicians at this course came because, as of July 1st, they will need to complete a continuing education course in marijuana for medical purposes if they want to sign certificates for patients. Others came because they've already been asked to sign the forms and don't feel prepared. Dr. Marisa Bachman practices family medicine in Hamilton. She has certified two patients with chronic pain to get the maximum amount, 10 ounces, for 60 days.
I've never used marijuana. I have no idea what an ounce or 10 ounces means. However, now I know it's 10 ounces is about 600 joints. That's 10 joints a day. Sounds like a lot to me.
That nervous laughter is common as doctors wrestle with how to integrate marijuana into their treatment plans. Drugs approved by the FDA have a recommended use, dose, and duration. Marijuana has none of that. Doctors don't know whether to suggest that patients smoke marijuana, vaporize it, eat products infused with pot, or take a pill. There are two FDA-approved medications that contain compounds found in marijuana, and pharmaceutical firms are testing others. But for the moment, patients and doctors may be navigating this new medical treatment option together. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.